sacrifice, their love, their not compromised attitude? What would be the good message? So I thought I'd have a little fun today. And I thought I'd talk about help my mom's possessed. Well, I know there's times when moms walk around as though they are indeed possessed. Now, don't take that in a negative connotation, but sometimes there are so many things going on, there are so many responsibilities for the woman of the house that they just can't keep up with themselves. And I have to tell you, my wife's not here this morning because she's doing children's church, but there have been times when I thought, Lord, this woman needs deliverance. Well, let's look at our Bible this morning. I think we're going to enjoy the message. It's going to help us understand a little bit about Mother's Day. 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 18. And even if your mother seems to be possessed by so many responsibilities, maybe by her agenda, maybe by her own pain, there's hope. The Bible says, but we all with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. In other words, change is coming. Change can happen. And you've all heard so many times the stories of a mother that can't care for their own children, whether they're drug dependent, alcohol dependent, perhaps they're living a lifestyle that doesn't enable them to be the kind of quality mother that they really need to be for their children. And we hear about stories all the time of people that are dysfunctional. They're unable to function as a mom, and how the children suffer as a result. But thank God for so many mothers who do function so well and are able to perform the kind of duties that are required to raise up children that are strong in the Lord, that are very moral, that are ethical, that have a good work ethic. But you know what? There seems to be, in the age that we live, a more challenging life than we've ever experienced before. Because it's hard to be a mother when you didn't have a mom. Because no one really taught you how. No one really instructed you on how to be that kind of mother to raise up children that will be successful in life. But the Bible tells us, of course, as we just read, that we can be changed. You know, I'm excited today to know that no matter what our background and no matter how difficult the challenge has been or how many mistakes you've made, errors of judgment, wish that you could redo and rewind. I know as a father, as I reflect on this message, I've thought about it many times. I wish I could go back 15 years, redo some things with my children. You know what? There's great hope today. Because just like Saul of Tarsus, who had an attitude that was self-serving, he had an attitude that was religious. Probably the worst was the religious attitude. He was breathing threats to every Christian that he heard about. He was going to great extent to kill them and to arrest them. And suddenly he met God on the road to Damascus. And it changed his life forever. So much so, Saul transformed to Paul, the great apostle, who wrote most of the New Testament, who gave to us an example of what change is really about. In the Old Testament, King Saul, that preceded King David, it was spoke of him that when the Spirit of God came on him, he became like another man. He was so transformed and so changed. when he met Christ. Or think about Peter. You know, Peter's often portrayed in the Bible as one that can't keep control of his mouth. He's always got something to say. He was one of those coarse and crude and rough fishermen. And Jesus met him one day and said, "Follow me." And Peter followed him. And he was transformed into another man. But I suppose what we ought to do today is talk about a woman in the Bible that was changed. What do you think? Maybe we should talk about Mary. No, not that Mary. Mary Magdalene. Let's talk about her. Because today we'd all like to think we're like Mary, the mother of Jesus. But in reality, we're living in a generation of Mary of Magdala. Aren't we not? And the Bible tells us in the scripture that when she met Jesus, she didn't have one demon. She didn't have two. Come on, somebody. She didn't have three or four. She didn't have five or six. She had seven demons. You think, now, Pastor, this is not a good Mother's Day message. Are you inferring that my mom is demon-possessed? Of course not. But read with me Luke chapter 8 and verse 1. "Now it came to pass afterward that he went through every city and village preaching and bringing the glad tidings of the kingdom of God. And the 12 were with him, and certain women who had been healed of evil spirits and infirmities, Mary called Magdalene, out of whom had seven demons." Now, if you study that particular text, you'll find that most theologians will say seven is significant because it speaks of its totality. In other words, she was completely and totally possessed. Not just that she had the number of seven, but seven meaning completion. And theologians would agree that this woman had been secularized. She had been humanized. She had been possessed by a philosophy of this world that told her how to raise children, how to live a life selfishly, how to become an angry woman, how to become embittered, how to walk into depression, how to be lonely, how to be self-absorbed. She was totally engrossed into a humanistic approach to family. And she met Jesus. And here's what the Bible says, that Jesus totally and completely delivered her. Now, I don't know what those demons could be called. Maybe they could be called rejection. Maybe they could be called abused or lonely. Maybe depressed. Maybe low self-esteem. Maybe angry. Maybe selfish. I'm not sure what those demons could be called. But I can tell you this, this woman was so changed in her life that she made a significant contribution to the ministry of Jesus Christ. Up until the point that she met Christ, she had no contribution to make. She was only a woman who can take and not give. She was trained and learned in how to receive but not to give. How to impart, she knew not. But when she met Christ, the Bible tells in various sections of Scripture that her and a couple of other ladies generously supported the ministry of Jesus. Had it not been for them, Jesus wouldn't have eaten, paid his travel way, made provision for his lodging, contributed to his ministry. But let's take a look at this particular woman, because the beauty of this story is her encounter with Jesus that changed the way things had always been. Now, this is not a day we want to tell on our mothers. This isn't a day that we want to talk about the bad aspects or the negative things. But sometimes what a child really needs the most is an understanding heart, a mom's gentle touch, a mom's kind word, But it's so difficult to be kind when you are so unkind to yourself. It's so hard to offer a soft word when inside there is condemning thoughts echoing around in the inside of your mind. It's difficult to be that kind of a stable person when your emotions are in torment. See, change must come. And the only change that is lasting is when a person comes in face-to-face communion with God. Her deliverance had significance. Her deliverance from these demons, if you will, was important, not only for herself, but for her children. You see, moms, Mother's Day is significant, not because we acknowledge the fact of your sacrifice and the fact that you have given birth to us, but the fact is that you are so significantly placed by God in our lives that we need you to be all you can be. And while as a little girl you might have grown up abused by others, maybe as a little girl, mom, you grew up and you lived a hard life. I can tell you of my own story. My mother, as a fifth grade educated young girl, was pulled out of school because her mother had passed away. And now her father needed her on the farm. He was a harsh man. He was an alcoholic. And that little girl, that little 10-year-old, 9-year-old girl, who someday would be a mother, was now having to learn life the hard way. And the story was always told, and we used to be amused by it and laughed at her as she had to get up before school and milk the cows by hand. And then go to school, come home, make dinner, be the mom of the house, milk the cows again, do the chores, get to bed, and somehow try to do your schoolwork. Well, by the time fifth grade came, it was just too much and she dropped out. A father with an alcoholic frenzy would come home with abusive language, would be mean-spirited to this little girl. She would find herself frightened, alone, abused, scared, and suddenly possessed. Then as time passed, she grew and she matured. And she fought so that she might have a place in life. Giving birth to their first son, they were so excited. Giving birth to their two daughters, they were so excited. Now the task of somehow raising these children. But it's so difficult to impart into somebody that which you don't possess yourself. You see, here's what the enemy's goal is: to perpetuate a pattern in a young girl's life so that it reaches far beyond that life into the lives of her children. Because the enemy is not satisfied to just possess one life. That's why the Bible says the sins of the fathers are passed down from generation to generation. You see, when you and I sin, the devil has on his mind 4 generations from that act. While we don't even think about tomorrow or the consequence of our action, he's already planning 4 generations that will proceed out of your loins. It's a perpetual pattern of failure. That's who Mary Magdalene was. That's who many women today who are mothers that are struggling, and not those that are just strung out on crack cocaine, not those that are just on welfare, single mother, 17 years old, whatever, maybe having a child out of wedlock, trying to go to school. You think those are the ones that are having all the problems? It could be stay-at-home moms living in suburbia, USA, with the SUV in the garage, and the picket fence around the front, and everything neat and orderly. But inside of her own heart, there lies turmoil. There lies this unrest. There lies this torment. That whether it's shopping or materialism, or whether it's some additive that they can somehow search and scratch for that brings peace for the moment, they go from one high to the other. And all the while trying to raise their children. And you see, the enemy not only has his sights set upon that mother, but upon her children. Her deliverance was significant. Because you see, unless Mary Magdalene had met Christ, her children would have never had a chance. So perhaps you're visiting today. Perhaps you've never received Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. Perhaps you have a knowledge about God, but you've never allowed Him to become your personal Lord. To confront these personal demons, if you will. To somehow find peace in the midst of a life of storm after storm after storm. You see, it's not all about us, is it? Because really, when you think about Mother's Day, you think about sacrifice. The first word that comes to my mind when I think of moms is sacrifice, investment. And of course, a mother's influence is huge. And if you don't believe that, just ask a local personality who happens to play basketball. His name is LeBron James, who plays for the Cleveland Cavaliers. Perhaps you've heard of him. His mother at age 16 gave birth to him. Upon the receiving his second MVP award, his first words out of his mouth were to thank his mother for all that she had done for him. To care for him, to cover him, to invest in him. It was so significant. Moms, do you realize the significance you have in the life of your children? That's why you must break the perpetual pattern of abuse, of anger, of bitterness, of depression. Because it is the devil's goal to somehow attach that to your own child. You see, her deliverance created a difference and a destiny for her children. And the way that it was accomplished, write them down, please. There are only three little points. No poem, but 3 points. Are you ready? Yeah. Mary Magdalene had a change in her life. Number one, because she went to the cross. Say that with me. She went to the cross. You must write that down. You say, that's so simple. I'll remember it. She went to the cross, not because she went there as a religious exercise, but she went there as a witness to the death of Jesus Christ. Today, religion will perpetuate the symbolism of a cross. When we look at a cross, we think of Christianity, but rarely do we think of a death. But the cross ought to represent to us a death. The facts are that she went there as a witness to a death. John 19 and verse 25 says, "Now there stood by the cross of his mother, the cross of Jesus, his mother, and his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene." You see, Mary witnessed the death of Jesus Christ. She stood near the cross in spite of all her fear, in spite of all her own pain, in spite of all of her insignificance internally, she stood near the cross. Why? Because she recognized that was the place of power. Moms, can I encourage you today to be a witness of the death of Christ at the cross? And the reason for that is because his death speaks to you and me. His death speaks to us. She identified with his death. She realized her need to die as well. Die to her past. Die to all her mistakes. Die to all of her failures. You know, this is something we need to do daily. Do you know that as a mother, you can feel so guilty? You can feel as though that you're the reason why your children aren't as successful as maybe you thought they should be. You can begin taking on responsibility that is not yours. That's why we must go to the cross every day and identify with the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. She was able to segregate herself from her past. And that's what we must do every day. She realized her need to die to her past. Secondly, we must become a witness to the burial of Christ. Luke chapter 23 and verse 55 says this, "And the women who had come with him from Galilee followed after, and they observed the tomb and how his body was laid. And then they returned and prepared spices and fragrant oils. And they rested on the Sabbath according to the commandment." Not only was she a witness to his death, but she was a witness to his burial. And it's vital, ladies and gentlemen, that we see Christ dead, buried, and on the third day rose again. It's part of the gospel message. It's part of the sequence and the pattern for change. Why, oh why, has Christianity avoided the cross? Why, oh why, are we not talking about understanding the death to our past? But more than that, the burial. The burial of Christ was significant. You thought, well, Pastor, I just thought it was the resurrection. That's what it's all about. He's alive. He's alive. No, he was dead. That is a truth you must preach to the voice of your past. She went to the place of burial. Have you gone to the place of burial, Mom? Have you gone to that place where they laid Christ? You see, death does something. You know what death does? It severs your connection with life. Visiting a wake this past week, talking with the family there as their mother, this Mother's Day week, was lying in state before them. They said, "We have a lot of good memories with her. We know where she is. She's in heaven with Jesus." But you know what happened upon that woman's death, of which I was making a visit and paying my condolences? You know what happened in that situation? There was a severing of her life. All they had now was a memory. And it's so important that when we come to Christ, we go to the place of his burial. We must sever our former life from our present existence. Because the enemy will constantly torment you about what you used to be, what you used to think, what you used to do, how you used to act. And you need to take the devil right to the tomb. You need to walk with him and escort him to the place where they laid Jesus down upon that cold slab of stone and say, "He was buried." That's how perpetual change comes. So moms, when's the last time you've gone to the place of Christ's death? You see, as Christ died completely, so those who profess Christ are also separated completely from the former life. You know, there are those that would say that Christ never died. There would be those that say that he was only fainted, that he was unconscious for a moment because of the crucifixion. And that's exactly what the devil wants you to believe as a mother, that you have not died with Christ. And I want to assure you, go back to the tomb. See where they laid him. Your life has been completely severed from your past. So much so, Paul wrote this in the book of Ephesians, chapter 4, verse 22, so that you put off concerning your former conduct the old man which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lusts. He said you got to put it off. I have witnessed time and time again mothers who live with such huge loads of guilt. I wish I could have been a better mother. I wish I could have made better choices. I wish I could have done this over again. I wish I would have just not done this. I wish I would have made more attempt to do this. Listen, go to the place of burial. And allow your life to be completely severed. Say this with me. I am not my past. That's so important to remember. Because if you can't let go of your past, there is that perpetual pattern that will be developed through your life into your children. It's the devil's goal to try to somehow tie you to what used to be. And you have to refuse that. Number three. The first one we talked about, she was a witness at the cross. Secondly, she was a witness at the burial. But third, she was a witness to his resurrection. You say, well, how did Mary Magdalene get her life together? This is how. She was a witness to the cross. She was a witness to his death. And now she was a witness to his resurrection. And I want to take the time to read John 20, verse 11 to 17. Mary stood outside by the tomb weeping. As she wept, she stooped down and looked into the tomb. And she saw two angels in white sitting, one at the head, another at the feet, where the body of Jesus had lain. Then they said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" She said to them, "Because they have taken away my Lord, and I don't know where they've laid him." Now when she had said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there and did not know that it was Jesus. Say that with me. Did not know that it was Jesus. And Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you seeking?" She, supposing him to be the gardener, said, "Sir, if you've carried him away, tell me, where have you laid him? And I will take him away." And Jesus said to her, "Mary." Wow. Called her by her name. Didn't call her anything else but by her name. And she turned to him and said, what? Rabboni. Now that's important. And let me just kind of divert a little bit. Let me just talk for a minute about the Da Vinci Code and some of those other perpetuating nonsense theological positions that say that Mary Magdalene was pregnant with the baby of Jesus. Have you heard that? Yeah, the baby was born, they moved to France, and they started this whole... Now, you know, let me just show you from Scripture. Okay? Let me show you from Scripture. Jesus said to her, "Mary," and she said, "Hey, baby." Look, if they were intimate, if they were going steady, If they'd have been hanging out, she wouldn't have responded to him and said, Rabboni, which actually means teacher. She would have said, I'm so glad you're alive because you're paying child support. You got that right? You see, Romans chapter 6 and verse 8 says, now if we died with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him. I like the rest of that scripture because Jesus said to her, woman, don't touch me. For I've not yet ascended to my Father, but go to my brethren and say to them, I'm ascending to my Father and your Father and to my God and to your God. I like the idea that Mary calls Jesus teacher. The only way Mary could perpetuate a different pattern into her own children was to be taught of Christ herself. Mom, you attending church isn't going to be enough. You must be taught of the Holy Spirit. You must submit yourself as a student of Scripture. Mary understood that the only way she could live this new life was to learn how through the Word of God. And this world will try to teach you how to live, how to be the woman of your own choosing, how to somehow secularize your mentality, how to be humanistic in your approach, how to be non-religious, and how to take charge of your life. And Jesus said, I want you to see me as teacher. Do you see him as teacher? Because if you do, you will create in your own children a great hope. To live this new life, she had to be taught. You know what's interesting here? Jesus said, I want you to go tell my disciples that I'm ascending to the heaven. I'm ascending to your God and my God. Now, I'm going to blow some of your minds here this morning. And I don't mean to, cause a lot of disturbance, but let me just help you with something when it comes to women in church. Because some of us have been trained that women can't hold office in church, can't be pastors, certainly can't be apostles. But let me just tell you what Jesus said. Is it okay? Amen. All right. When Jesus said, go and tell, he uses a word in the Greek that is mind-boggling. To the point that the translators backed off. But if you were to look at the original Greek word, it is this word, apostolon. She was being told by Jesus to go and operate in her apostolic gift. A woman, a former demon-possessed woman, can operate in an apostolic gift? You've got to be kidding me. But that's exactly what Jesus was saying. Here's what it actually means in the original Greek. To my understanding, I'm just a layman, but this is what it meant. I want you to operate in your apostolic gift and go tell the apostles what you know. In other words, you now are an apostle to the apostles. Okay? Do you get that? Here's a woman that had no reason to ever be elevated in life. had every reason, whether or not she had problems with prostitution, we don't know. And that's just hearsay. That's a church tag. It's not in Scripture. But let's just say the seven demons, one of them was lust. Let's just say for the purpose of what your tradition might tell you that that's true. But we don't know that that's true. But let's just say it is true. Jesus said, you former prostitute, you're now an apostle to the apostles. Leave it to Jesus to mess up the whole church. Put people who just aren't qualified in office. I can't believe it. You're going to put those former drug addicts and those former self-centered people and those former lust-filled people into the apostolic office. But that's what Jesus said. Go be an apostle to the apostles. In other words, go and tell them. So moms, let me help you today. Let me put this all in one little basket so you can take it home neatly and plant it there in your kitchen cupboard. Are you ready? If you will, regardless of your past, go to the cross and observe and be a witness to the death of Christ. Would you understand that you are not your past? If you will understand, secondly, that you are a witness to where he was buried, meaning you've now been separated from life as you have known it. And number three, if you will, as a witness like Mary, go to the tomb and there see Christ raised, then you, like Mary Magdalene, will notice something. You will have a commission laid upon you. I'm looking at a lot of apostles in here today. You say, well, who are your disciples? The greatest gift a mother could ever receive is her children. And Jesus said to Mary Magdalene, you are an apostle to the apostles, and may I suggest, as a woman, you are an apostle to your own kids. Because there's nobody that can touch the heart of your son or daughter the way you do. No altar call at any preacher's service. Oh, no, no. No testimony from friend at work or at school can touch them like mom's appeal. You have a voice that God has given you into your son and your daughter's heart. Don't be silent. Go tell your children about Jesus Christ. We've all heard the power, the potency, if you will, of a praying grandmother. How many know what I'm talking about? A praying grandmother who will pray through her grandchildren. I believe that anointing is upon every mother. The problem is we don't recognize it until we become grandmamas. Because in order to be a grandmom, you have to be a mom. Is that true? Mom first, then grandmom. So recognize the call of God upon your life now. Don't wait until you're old and gray. Don't wait until you recognize the apostolic call upon your life. But your prayers are full of power to reach into the hearts of your own children and to save their soul from a sin-sick world. That's the gift of a mother. It's a powerful gift, ladies and gentlemen. So when we review Mother's Day, cards and flowers and gifts and meals and buffets and all of the trappings of Mother's Day, let's go to the very foundation, which says God has delivered you to be a deliverer. God has healed you in order for you to be a healer. God has given you a peace so that you might become a peacemaker. Ladies, you realize the power and the anointing and the pattern that God has invested in you. It doesn't matter where you've come from, how far gone you were, how many demons possessed you, what mistakes you've made. You're here today with an opportunity to go back to the tomb, to go back to the cross, and to come out of there as an apostolically anointed woman to reach her generation for the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Wow. I'm scared of you. I'll never forget the first time I saw my mom go off. It about made me jump out of my skin. She's 5'3", just a little old Hungarian woman. And my older sister started getting mouthy with mom. I said, oh, this isn't looking good. I started backing up a little bit. But I was interested enough to see what was going to happen. So I hung out right there just looking around the corner. Sure enough, man, she started pushing the envelope. And mom had had it. She grabbed hold of my sister. I mean, with one hand around the scruff of the neck and the other one across the top of the head. Kaboom! I said, yeah, get that girl. Oh. Way to go, mom. My sister's glasses went flying. Hit the kitchen wall. I said, oh, shaka, shaka, shaka. My mom started to proceed to whoop her like I ain't never seen a whooping before. By the time it was over, that arrogant, proud, resistant teenage girl was like a little kitten in the hand. I mean, she, Mom, I'm sorry. Mom said, you know you're sorry. You know you're sorry. I said, whoa. And she looked at me and said, now take out the garbage. I'm on it right now, Mom. I'm on it right now. Be right back. I remember another time Mom got a hold of her sister. Oh, man, they were arguing. I saw it coming. She kicked off her shoes. That's a good sign. When Mom kicked off her shoes, you better start ducking. It was like two stray cats in the alley. There's something about a mother's passion for what she believes is right. And while it can be abusive and demonized outside of Christ, in Christ, it is a power unmatched. Ladies, let me just tell you the power you have. I'm scared of you. Women. Women building families. Building churches. That's right. Building leaders. Building the kingdom of God. I want to pray for every apostolically anointed woman in this room today to help you understand who you are and the power that resides in you. Father, I thank you today that you have called every woman in this room as a mother to change lives. Lord God, thank you for the call of Christ upon them and how they have changed us. I'm asking you, Lord, now, whatever it might be that's causing unrest in their hearts and unsettledness in their own spirit, to go back to the cross, to go back to the place where they laid Christ, to go back to the tomb where you have risen. I want you to bow your head with me. I want you to close your eyes. And every woman in this room, I want you to hear Jesus say your name. Just like he said Mary of Magdalene's name. Now I want every woman in here to hear what Jesus told Mary, because he's telling you. Go tell your children about me. Let them know that I'm alive. Let them know that I'm ascended into heaven. And when you and I will receive that commission, you have reached the pinnacle of true motherhood. For that's the call of God upon your life today. Isn't that powerful? That's a powerful thing, ladies. I want you to look up at me for a minute. I want to say, I salute you. I thank you for your investment. I thank you for all that you have done. Not only for your own children, but can I say, as a pastor, I thank you, you women who have been here and have supported and have paid the price and have given so much to make this church what it is today. Many of you, it was on the back of your dedication and commitment that we're still here as a church some 30 years later after we first started. Not to say that the men haven't contributed, but let me just say, this is Mom's Day, okay? But every pastor in America will tell you, if it had not been for women in the local church, there would probably be no local church. So let's give a great big God bless to all the moms today in this room. Amen. God bless you, moms. We are so thankful for you. Amen. Now, we have a very special event following the service. If you've noticed, we've got two different photographic setups. If you'd like a picture for Mother's Day, these are complimentary, I believe. And I'm not sure how you'll get them. Maybe next Sunday, you'll have them out in the foyer. You could have your picture taken with your family. It's professionally done. It looks professional. We got an umbrella over there and everything. So backdrop and cameras and the whole thing. But it's complimentary as our gift to you to say Happy Mother's Day. So if you'd like to stand in line, it won't take long. You know, if you got a few minutes to do that and get your picture taken, I think that'll be a great addition to this memorable day. Also, I wanted to invite my church to Thursday night. You know, this has been a burden on my heart. We can have 700 or 800 here on a Sunday and 150 on Thursday night. You're missing such great, enriched moments. I want to invite you to be a part of Thursday night. Put it back in your schedule. Put it on your calendar. Make it a priority. I think you'll be blessed as a result. And then finally, I want to see whether or not you would help me do something in our church. It's time to replace the carpeting in this sanctuary. Now, we say, why? It looks good enough to me. Well, that's what you told your wife when she told you she needs to get new carpet as well. This carpet was 7 years guaranteed. That was 1995. How many know that that's more than 7 years? And it's frayed. It's worn. And I believe the house of God ought to be presented in excellence. That's why we've had to put this little black piece up here just to take care of all the mess that it was before. But it's time to replace it all. It's going to cost about $35,000. Now, all you need to do, simple, 35 people, write out a check for $1,000. Okay, 70 people write out a check for $500. Now, that's not a lot of money. Not really. If you have to, you can do a car wash. You could sell bottles, caps, collect cans, do a bake sale. Say, Pastor, you are crazy. Why would I do that for carpet? Aha. I'm going to ask you to prayerfully consider, because we're going to launch a campaign to try to raise the money. I won't labor you with it. If it's not raised in a couple of weeks, we'll let it go. But we really would like to present the sanctuary in a better condition. Down this middle aisle, when we do weddings, I am so embarrassed. This carpet is totally, totally coming apart. And I don't know what to tell families. I just say I'm sorry that the carpet is in such poor shape. And I think it's time for us to make an investment in our local church, okay? So on your way out today, if you want to write that $35,000 check, give your tithe and offering to the ministry. We are believing God for increase this year, so help us. Be a tither. Amen? Be a giver. And don't forget missions as well. I'm going to ask our altar ministers to come right now. And if you're here today, you've never given your life to the Lord Jesus Christ, you can do it today. Altar ministers are coming. Church, would you stand with me? If you need prayer for your physical body, maybe you have somebody that needs prayer that you know of, we're going to pray right now as we close for a couple of people that are very special to me, to our church. Eddie Shillings, who's been at a usher for many years in our church, is in Metro in intensive care. He needs a miracle. Lorreen Payne just had some transplants, kidney and pancreas. She's up at Cleveland Clinic. She needs our prayer. Many other people need prayer as well. But let's just bind together. Would you take somebody by the hand? Father, bless, I pray, God, Eddie Shillings. Raise him up, Father, from that bed. Cause him, oh God, to be alert and responsive. And let him be restored to health. I pray today, Father, for Lorreen Payne, that you'll continue to strengthen her physical body. I pray for that blood pressure now. Lord Jesus, let it be normal. Let everything, God, that has gone by, everything that's transpired in her life, let it be, God, for your glory. We bless them now in the name of Jesus. Now, if you have a need, we want you to come forward. If you've never received Christ as your Savior, let us pray with you as well. Hey, we want to tell you to live right, love everybody, and pray hard. We'll see you next Sunday or this Thursday night. Don't forget to get your pictures taken. God bless all of you.